Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all clowns for caster than just big talkers. Showing what it really means to be a fake walker.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, N-God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time. I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what?
The Mental of God Empowerment Program.
When I stand before God and he asks me, why did I kill one of his true miracles? What am I going to say?
Jesus,
it was my job.
Draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me. And I
walk around,
heaven,
oh.
around heaven all day. Walk, 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 walk. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're here one more again, ladies and gentlemen, saints of the Most High God. You are tuned into the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I am your host, the Lazarus Minister Faith Walker, also known as Prophet Joshua. Amen. I'm here. Yeah, I got many names. Amen. Transfigurator. Figure it out. But praise God, we're here again on Monday night. Amen. Monday night empowerment, often imitated, but definitely not duplicated. Amen. You know, we thank God for today, this season, and everything he's doing right now. I would like to say a special shout-out, amen. Well, you know what? Let me go into prayer, amen. I feel the Spirit of the Lord is just moving right now, so I'm just going to go ahead. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, God, for your will, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this moment, Lord God, in time, God. Lord God, all movements of time, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for everybody who's here by divine appointment. Touch your apostle, your beloved apostle, your man of God, Lord God, the man of God that you've given, Lord God, to administrate and to delegate, Lord God, to set the order, Lord God, in your church, God, the true apostolic doctrine, Lord God, that is called to be released in this hour, Lord God. He will not shun to declare the whole counsel of God, Lord God, to speak out of the mouth of God, the wind, God, a hallelujah, Jesus. So we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that your angel has been released, taking authority over everything in the airwave that is not like you, Lord God. We bind all disruption, hindrance, Lord God. We bind all ungodly movements, Lord God. Everything is subjected to the theocracy of Almighty God. And we thank you, Lord God, that we have connected with the anointing. We have connected with the candlestick, God, that is in place on tonight, God, for the move of this ministry, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we thank you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that everybody here by divine assignment, by cell phones, Lord God, by galaxies, tablets, Lord God, the Androids, Lord God, desktops, laptops, doesn't matter, God, online, internet, World Wide Web, God, we just thank you that they are here, Lord God, by divine assignment, that they may be enlightened, educated, Lord God, about the apostolic mantle, the doctrine, Lord God, the mission, the mandate, the vision of the man of God, Lord God. And, Lord God, we just ask, thank you, Holy Spirit, bless the woman of God where she at right now, Lord God, the woman of God, Cooper, woman of God right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, bless the woman of God. Keep her, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are joined, amen, on tonight, amen. Also give a special shout-out to my partner, amen, Pastor Hill, holding things down, amen. Nathan on the spot. I thank God for this man of God, amen. He's much wisdom, amen. Amen. He know how to make you laugh, amen. He has a ability with the word of God, amen. And he has a wisdom, amen. So I thank God that he yoked us together for this broadcast. It's been a blessing, amen, doing this, amen. I've been blessed. Many hosts, many people have been on this program who've been on the Word Network, TBA. We thank God for entrusting us with this broadcast, amen. It's not an easy task. So, amen. In the name of Jesus, amen, we thank God, amen. Special shout-out to Prophet Benson. On yesterday, he got ordained as a prophet, amen. So shout-out to Prophet Benson. He went down there to Tallahassee, amen. He was ordained into the prophethood on yesterday. So we thank, shout-out to my brother, amen, who's in my inner circle, amen. Shout-out to Prophet Benson, amen. And welcome to the prophethood. You're already a prophet, but sometimes you need a larger, amen. So we thank God on tonight. Also, next week, we're going to have Darren Deek, Mr. Quality of Life Artist, Mr. Christian Walk, March 30th. We're going to have him, amen, come on the Kingdom Voices Gospel Program. He's going to bless us with his presence, amen. Fresh off tour and doing a lot of things, Ken Jones and all of that stuff. Shout out to Darren Deek, amen. Also, next Monday night, it goes up and down. We're going to ascend, amen. We're going to ascend in the form of the Mantle of God Empowerment Anniversary Celebration. It's a celebration of this broadcast who have graced many apostles, many prophets, many evangelists, pastors, teachers, and many people are coming to celebrate us with us on next week, amen, such as Prophetess Coach Nadia, Evangelist Aileen, Evangelist Dr. Elisha Broughton, Pastor Tori Montgomery, Bishop Dennis Jones, Dr. Prophetess Shaquanda Payne McCall, Prophet Ezekiel, amen, and the man of God that you will be listening to on tonight, and a host of others yet to be named. So we bless God. Next week, if you ain't never hear something, next week's definitely going down, amen, and back up again. So we thank God on tonight. I'm going to go and get into the scriptures on tonight. Hallelujah, our scripture reading, amen. John chapter 5, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, part himself. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bear fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, he can't do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them to the fire, and they are burned. Christ Jesus said in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. 8, hereby is my Father glorified, my God, that ye may bear much forth fruit, and so shall it be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. I just read John chapter 15, verse 1-9, amen. Praise God, amen. Now on tonight, amen, we're going to bring forth our guests at this time. Anybody knows a word of prayer, definitely keep us prayer lifted up, amen. Amen, for this shift, amen. I'm going to welcome this man of God, and I'm just going to bring him forth. He's the pastor. He's the general overseer of the Mouth of God Ministries of Houston, Texas. He travels apostolically. The Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted him with the word of God. He has told him to eat the scroll, amen. He eats the scroll, and he operates off a high grade of apostolic authority. This man of God I've listened to, amen, his teaching several times on YouTube. Amen. This man of God, amen, is a blessing to so many others, amen. And when you come with a high grade of teaching, amen, you're going to be often rejected. Oh, come on now. Who told you God's word is going to be received with love by folk? So he's often rejected, amen. But that just comes with being a true apostle. So we ask God and we thank God on tonight for this man of God, Apostle Dr. Winston Cooper. Come forth, man of God.
Blessings on you, Prophet Joshua. It's a blessing to be here.
Oh, man, I'm excited, amen, to have you on the Mantle of God Empowerment program, amen. I know you're a busy man of God, amen. I just enjoy listening to your answer machine to tell you the truth. Amen, praise God.
Amen.
You educate folks, right? They don't even have to talk to you. Listen to his answer machine, amen. You get educated. Praise God. I thank God for the man of God.
Bless you, sir.
Amen. Well, we ain't going to shuck and jive. We're going to dive right into it. All the students, amen, that listen every Monday night, get your notebooks, get your pen, amen. We about to go DC diving, high grade, high style, amen, as the Spirit of the Lord begins to educate us all about the apostolic, amen. So how were you called, and then how were you chosen to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? When did you know that?
When I knew that I was called for apostolic anointings, I was called apostolic assignment, also to walk into the apostolic office at 3 years of my salvation. And so that's when I received the impartation that God was really taking me to a higher dimension because of the things that he was revealing to me concerning the mysteries of the kingdom. And I began to receive a visitation of Christ in dream form, that he began to touch me, and I saw him in his crucified state. And Christ began to open his arms unto me and say, come, embrace me. And when I embraced him, that's when he said, come fellowship with my suffering. And that woke me right up in the middle of my sleep, right in the middle of the night. And I knew right then and there that I was about to embrace a traumatic suffering for Christ. And it was after that dream that I received some detrimental storms in my life. But yet, through it all, God has built me and developed me, and also gave me the character of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, so I may know how to operate with power, but also operate with wisdom, as well as with love. And so that's when I received that impartation, that signal, that signpost. So I was called to be an apostle, but yet I was still serving under my Father. Even after I received the revelation that he shifted me to a higher calling, I still served in ministry under my Father, who is my apostle, my bishop. And I served there for 7 more years, and altogether a total of 10 years. And that's when I was sent out to go pastor a church. And 3 years of my pastorage, that's when his apostles came, as well as him being the co-apostolic seal, came and anointed me and laid hands on me and ordained me to be an apostle to the region of Houston as well as the nations that I'm called to.
Wow, wow. What are some of the mistakes that you see that the young apostles make upon coming up in the apostolic?
The first mistake I see is a lack of education, a lack of biblical, theological education. Because any person that calls themselves an apostle, they have to be prime exegetes of the chief apostles found in the biblical context. And exegete is from that Greek word exergeomai, which literally means that you're projecting from the mindset of the original apostles who passed away, and you're taking their teaching and you're simply reflecting it. You're not adding nothing to it. You're not bringing nothing into the text. You're simply reflecting and being a shadow of that text. And so what I see is that a lot of even old apostles as well as young apostles, they have not had the ability to comprehend or interpret accurately what the apostles were saying. And that's why we have a lot of division going on now. We have a lot of denominations taking place now because we do not want to give the apostolic voice from Scripture its freedom to begin to express what the church, how the church should be structured and the systems that should be operating in the church. And so I think that's the number one error, is that you got to begin to reason theology. You got to know how to reason the God of the Bible, not just any God, but the God of the Bible. You got to understand that the works and the word, the teachings of Christ, which is Christology. Then you have to go into pneumatology and understand the Holy Spirit. You got to understand the systematic order and the function of the Holy Spirit. Then you got to go into eschatology, because every apostle should know the times of the end. Then you have to go into ecclesiology, because every apostle should know how to properly bring order, bring structure, and bring paradigmatic shifts within the mind of the believer, because the apostle is focused on changing the belief system. The pastor is focused on changing the status, but the apostle comes in and the prophet comes in and they change the belief system. So they got to have a strong ecclesiological approach when they're teaching God's sheep and God's people. And then you have to be strong in hamartiology, because you have to understand how to balance holiness, sanctification, with the love of God when you deal with sinners. And so all these things play a major role in the development of the apostle, because if he's going to be the apostle, even though he operates in signs and wonders, he must have a sure foundation of the present truth. The second thing I see is that they go out without hands being laid on them. You cannot go out and start churches being a renegade or operating in the spirit of a maverick. Just because you have the gift of revelation, you have the gift of prophecy, you must have people lay hands on you, because a church must endorse you to operate in an apostolic thrust. Because if no church is endorsing you and laying hands on you, you have no transferred authority. So without delegated authority, you would not be an authority. If you don't have an authority, if you don't have an author from which you sprung off of, you cannot be authorized to delegate authority in God's church. And I think the third mistake is that we have a lot of people who do not understand how to operate in teams. Young apostles or older apostles, they understand how to operate in teams, and that's why we have a lot of individualism going on instead of unity that should be operating in the church. Every apostle that's found the New Testament, they operated in teams. So there should not be one apostle on one island. There should be apostles come together as a team, as an apostolic collegium or Presbyterian bishopric. And that's what's messing up a lot of apostolic orders and reflections from our churches today.
Amen. 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. Everybody who's on the web at blogtalkradio.com/NathanOnTheSpot, you can definitely call in and ask questions. Amen. If you desire prayer, this is the night to get it. Amen. You can definitely get prayer, or you need a word from the Lord. Amen. You can definitely call in. Amen. As the Holy Spirit directs. Hopefully he'll make your acquaintance, which he always do. He never lets us down. But nevertheless, 347-945-5416. You press 1, and you're in our midst. Amen. And then the man of God, Pastor Hill, will definitely patch you through. Now, we're talking about the apostolic on tonight. We're talking about the apostolic mantle, amen, and it's being demonstrated by our very beloved apostle, Dr. Winston Cooper, amen. He's the pastor, general overseer of the Mouth of God Ministries of Houston, Texas, amen. So we're talking about apostolic tonight, so if you have any questions, you feel you an apostle, amen, you got some questions, or God dealing with you in any shape, form, or fashion, you need to call in, press 1, don't shuck and jive on tonight, amen, get the apostolic doctrine in order, amen, and before you go forth, amen. Don't shipwreck as some have, amen. So Apostle, what I want to ask you, I have a lot of Baptist brothers, amen. Shout out to the Baptist brothers. The Baptist brothers I talk to, amen, and they run up on me all the time, amen. They say, yeah, what's up with you and all these apostles and prophets? I said, well, I happen to be a prophet, amen. And they said, well, according to Acts chapter 1, you know, theologians go, well, according to Acts chapter 1, you know, when they was ordaining the next apostles, you have to see Jesus and you know, the baptism of John and, you know, all this, you know, and, you know, so all the apostles have died out and you know, and all that, you know how our brothers go. Can anybody, right. If I had to have anybody bring such clarity to this issue, it would be you. How would you address some of our Baptist brothers who may need enlightenment? Amen.
I believe that a lot of people from the traditional theological thought, especially sensationalist is a theological term, that they believe that the gifts have ceased. The apostles and the prophets have ceased. So they're sensationalists. They believe that after the first century church, after the apostolic age of the former apostles, there are no apostles today. But when we begin to look at Scripture from a hermeneutical standpoint, we must understand, first of all, that the apostolic or the apostle is an office. So when you deal with offices, offices are eternal. The men that take the place of the office are temporal. They only remain in earth for a temporary season, but the office is always eternal. And this eternal office was projected and delegated by Christ himself. And so according to Ephesians 4:11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. So those are offices, and those offices will remain until his church is raptured up or taken up. And so when people come and say, well, you got to see Jesus before you're an apostle, well, then we have to look at Paul. Paul never saw Jesus in his physical form. Paul was not one of the original Matthias. He was not one of the original apostles. So he never saw Jesus in his physical form. Even though he saw a vision of Jesus in Acts 9, amen, he was also taught by Jesus from the Spirit. And so there are many people that have seen Jesus, but they're not apostles. There are many saints in the world. They have seen Jesus, but that doesn't make them an apostle. There are many prophets.
Yes.
Apocalyptic revelation of Jesus Christ, but that doesn't make them an apostle. What makes them an apostle is that Jesus had to transfer his understanding of his teaching to the apostles. So you have to see Christ and be taught by Christ. But Barnabas never saw Christ. Barnabas never saw Christ. Timothy, who was an apostolic representative, never saw Christ. Titus, who was also an apostolic representative, never saw Christ. But they were still the apostles of the New Testament church. Because you have the apostles of the Lamb, which are the 12 apostles, which Matthias took the place of Judas Iscariot. He took that place in Acts 1. Those are the 12 apostles. They was the one that they was walking with the walking seminary. So many people, they even say that the apostles were not learned. They didn't have to go to school. They didn't have to go to seminary. Of course they didn't, because they were walking with the seminary. They was walking with Jesus. Jesus was the greatest professor. He was teaching them. So, of course, they didn't have to go to school because the greatest professor was teaching them. But now you call yourself an apostle, you must go to some type of Bible college and get educated and get learned. Amen. And so that's the apostle of the Lamb. Then you have the apostle of the New Testament church, which they was delegated by the apostle of the Lamb to begin to govern and be sent out to the Gentile nation to begin to establish the doctrine of Christ unto the Gentile nation so that the Gentile nation may be saved. Then when the New Testament church closed off because of the canon being closed, then there's still the postmodern-day apostles, which comes after the New Testament apostles, which are us. And that's what we are. We are simply holding on to the tradition of the New Testament apostles who received it from Paul and who Paul received it from the apostles of the Lamb. So that delegation, the Holy Fast, the tradition of the apostolic doctrine is still going forth. In this day and time now, all we're doing is simply holding the deposit which was given to the apostles of the Lamb and simply preaching it. So modern day apostles, they're the ones that have the deposit of the apostolic tradition and keep it and don't deviate from it. And so that's what the Baptists don't understand. The Baptists don't understand that particular area there. It's not just seeing Christ, it's being taught by Christ.
Amen, amen. So what's the big deal? One of the trends I see was happening in that the apostolic, is we have a lot of pastors throwing their hats in the ring and with the apostles. Amen. If you're a business person, you're an apostle. If you build a lot of businesses, if you're Bill Gates, shout out to Bill Gates. If you're Bill Gates, hypothetically speaking, I'm an apostle because I got a lot of money and I got a lot of business. So I'm apostolic. I'm an apostle. Amen. So, you know, what's going on with that? We got a lot of passages, donating hats and saying that they're apostles. What's going on?
Yeah, and that's what, I mean, I think that's the cunning deceitfulness that has crept into our churches now. Because what you have is, I think, the church is suffering from, I want to say, a bipolar type of syndrome. Because you have pastors who was ordained by God to be pastors. Now they want to be apostles. You have prophets who are ordained by God to be prophets. Now they want to be pastors. You have teachers ordained to be teachers. Now they want to be evangelists. Everybody's trying to get into somebody else's lane. Everybody's trying to get into somebody else's position, and it's bringing the church into schizophrenia. But on top of that, there's also businessmen who are gifted to become prophets in the marketing area. And so they're called to be gifted in the marketing area to draw influence so that the wealth of the nations may come into God's house. But now you have these businessmen who think because of their skill and their competence of establishing a circle of business, it gives them legal right to be called an apostle. And you cannot, you can't get them mixed up. A businessman is a businessman, and an apostle is an apostle. Just because you can establish franchises and a nexus like Ray Kroc, that does not make you an apostle. Ray Kroc established many franchises for McDonald's because of this system and because of this late structure, but that didn't make him an apostle of the New Testament church. That didn't make him an apostle of the church. Amen. If he had got himself saved and got right with God, he probably could have been an apostle, but he was not an apostle. He was just a good businessman. So what happened is that you have a businessman who thinks because they are able to bring a gathering in and buy buildings, they think that they held the legal right to the apostolic office. And then when they get up and preach, they're made ashamed because they're not rightly dividing the word of truth. They're not actually interpreting and becoming apologetic at the center of the faith. And therefore, a lot of people are becoming diluted. And any church that is preaching a diluted gospel will only create a washed-out church. I'm saying again, any preacher, any sapo that's preaching a diluted gospel will only produce a washed-out church. And that's what's going on now, not knowing that the apostle has the ability to impart a grace to the businessman. If they stay in their proper rank, if they stay in their position, the apostle can begin to release an impartation on that businessman life that will set him up forever, that will increase his bottom line, that will cause him to be more productive in the kingdom. So he cannot override and usurp authority over a grace that's not his. And that's what's going on now. So because you have a business, it does not make you an apostle. What makes you an apostle is that you got to be proven in your doctrine, proven in your character, and you got to know that the revelation of Christ is on you, the grace of Christ is on you.
Amen. 347-945-5416. That is 347-945-5416. This is the Worldwide Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. Definitely we're here back again every Monday. Amen. For the next couple of weeks. Amen. Yes. And next week it goes down to Mantle of God Empowerment Anniversary Celebration. We're going to have a lot of apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. It's going to be jam-packed next week. So if you want a showdown, it's going to be a showdown, amen, but we're going to show up the devil, hallelujah. So definitely look for our interesting time. We're here with the Apostle Dr. Winston Cooper, Pastor General Overseer of the Mouth of God Ministries of Houston, Texas, amen, breaking down the apostolic. He's splitting the atom, amen, protons and neutrons, electrons on deck, amen. So thank Holy Spirit, amen, for putting this together on tonight, amen. So what's the difference between being apostolic, So a lot of people get that twisted. I'm apostolic, so I'm an apostle. I normally tell people I'm an apostolic prophet, but I'm not an apostle. It's a quite big difference, amen. So clear that up, amen, with as far as being apostolic.
The first thing about that is that we have a distinguished apostolic denomination from the apostolic move. Because an apostolic denomination is projected from a Pentecostal tradition where they believe that holiness is the hallmark of everything, holiness in the external form, more of the external form than the internal form. They believe that as long as they remain holy, they can remain ignorant, some Pentecostal, some apostolic denomination. They don't have to read a lot. They don't have to study a lot. They don't have to gain God's wisdom because as long as they remain pious and holy, it's okay, as long as they wear no makeup, as long as they wear no earrings, as long as the woman don't wear no pants, as long as the man is been sober, it's okay. But they have not dealt with the belief system of their belief in the Bible. The belief system is still the same, but external form has changed. But the true apostolic movement is a movement that is assigned to bring forth a diligence within every believer so that they may be ready to do the Great Commission. An apostolic movement does not want to quarantine you in one church. An apostolic movement is always provoking you to go out and do the Great Commission, not the Great Consideration, but the Great Commission. And so any person that is operating under a true apostolic move, you will begin to see the evangelists start to bring proclamation and demonstration on the streets. You begin to see the prophets move outside of the church and begin to prophesy in the market area. See, the apostolic movement is focused on expanding kingdom consciousness within the believers. Yes. It's not just keeping them stuck with a traditional church section or segment, but it's called to bring the kingdom consciousness in every believer so that the believer can understand that soon and very soon the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord. And so the apostle is focused on what we call the seven mountains, which is a new apostolic term, which means that the apostle focused on training people so they may go onto the business mountain and become successful. They're focused on training other people who are gifted in the governmental area or governmental sphere to go on the governmental mountain and begin to bring righteousness and justice within the governmental mountain. They're called to even go into the media field. All this gang-banging rap, all this R&B music, even some of our artists are cloning the R&B styles, R&B, what we call swag. They're calling them, not knowing that it is through the church bursts out new revelation. It should not be the R&B and the rapper who is in the world that we should be cloning. They should be cloning us. But it is turned around so the prophet brings new revelation on that media field so that when the rapper called by God begin to project the gospel of Christ through that style of anointing, that anointing can begin to win some rappers. That anointing can begin to win some R&B singers. But they need to receive an anointing by an apostle, and they need to receive direction from a prophet so that they may take over that media mountain. And then we're called for the arts and entertainment, even the drawing, the designs, the inventions, even in the plays, the drama, the plays and stuff. That's all what the apostles focus on, training them out, delegating them out so they may spread the gospel on that mountain, even the religious mountain. That's what the apostles say. And we're also called in birthing solid families, keeping marriages solid, keeping children trained properly, bringing balance within the home. That's the family mountain. And then also the education mountain, making sure our kids have a sound understanding of Christ, sound understanding of his doctrine, so they would not be swayed away by the evolutionist teacher that's in their education field or that's at their school. They won't be swayed away by what their teacher is saying at their school. They'll know how to defend right from wrong, is done good from evil, when they're going into those educational spheres. And so the apostle is focused on expanding the whole church to move in those seven mountains so that the kingdom may be expressed in every sphere that's established within this universe or within this world.
Amen. So what about, I noticed another thing, Apostle. We got a lot of apostles saying, listen, I'm Apostle Prophet Pookie Bear. I'm Apostle Prophet. I see one bugger say Apostle Prophet Seer. I see one split and say Apostle. What's going on with occupying two different dimensions? Oh, look like we got a caller here. Hold on, Apostle. Look like we got a caller here on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. They want to comment on tonight. Caller, you're here live on the Mantle of God Empowerment Program with Apostle Dr. Winston Cooper. Amen.
Yes, this is Nathan. I just got to ask one question before y'all go any further. Just one
yes,
little
sir.
Question. I'm going to put him on a little spot. Elect apostle. Is she elect apostle? I hate to do it to him, but y'all was born that question.
The man of God said about the elect apostle. A question came in about the elect apostle. What's going on with elect apostle? Were you ever an apostle elect? And if so, can you please clear that up?
Oh, the elect apostle. Now we're done with semantics. The elect apostle simply means that you're about to be prepared to be ordained as an apostle from assembly of apostles in a certain circle. So when you are called the elect apostle, what they're literally saying is that you're recognized to be elected to be an apostle that has the ability to govern this sphere of people that you are over. So you can't just say you're an apostle over a sphere in a circle who they have not known you. The Bible said, know them that labor among you. So when you say you're an elect apostle, all that terminology is simply saying is that we have elected this authority to give free right to begin to teach you doctrine and also bring you into proper order and structure. That's all elect apostle literally means. Okay, but it's just semantic. But it doesn't take nothing. You can be an apostle before you are elect. But when you say you're elect apostle, that means that you're invited to be partakers and take the right hand of fellowship amongst other apostles in a certain circle or diocese.
Amen. I got a question for you, man of God. What happened to all the... Where the real deacons at? I'm talking about deacons like Stephen. Where the real fire, flame, Holy Spirit-filled deacons, like back in the old school, them boogers will preach you out of church. I'm talking about deacons, the ones who are deacons.
We know about Prophet Josh. You asked a powerful question. I want to ask before you ask that question. You asked, can apostle have two offices? Can he be a prophet and apostle? Yes, apostle.
Oh yeah. Let's go back there. My bad, but I'm going ahead. We'll park that the deacon there. We'll go back to apostle prophet.
Well, that was a very simple question. Apostle can do that. Apostle. Notice what Paul said to Timothy. He said, as an apostle and teacher and preacher of the gospel. So Paul understood he had more than one office. And if you're really called to be an apostle, I say this all the time. If you're really called to be an apostle, we all know if you're familiar with the apostolic teaching that the hand is a great. The hand is a great analogy of the fivefold ministry. But if you understand the thumb, which represents that apostle, that thumb is able to touch all other fingers. It can touch the index finger, which is a symbolic of the prophet. It can touch the middle finger, which is symbolic of the evangelist. It can touch the wedding finger, which is symbolic of the pastor. It can touch the pinky finger, which is symbolic of the teacher. Why can the thumb touch all those? Because if you are truly called to be an apostle, you're literally not just raising a church up, but you're raising up an academy. You're raising up a supernatural academy. When God sends you out to establish a work, you're really establishing a supernatural theological academy. So if you are called to be an apostle, you got to know how to train prophets. You got to know how to train pastors. You got to know how to train evangelists. You got to know how to train teachers. And you got to be skilled in all those offices. And so an apostle is what we call a hyphenated office. It's a hyphenated office because it has multiple mantles. The apostle has multiple, what is the Greek word, polakios. It has multiple variations of mantles, polakios. And so that's what the apostle does. His mantle is able to bring training and education and edification and all those four graces, all those other four graces, those essential gifts.
Now, amen. Go ahead. We're talking about the deacon now.
Okay, the deacon. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:10, let any man, if he calls himself a deacon, let him first be proven, then make him a deacon. A deacon is simply an office to a local church. And if you understand Stephen and Philip, the Bible says that the apostles of the Lamb said that it is not meet for us to go down and serve tables, but let us begin to ordain and license seven in Acts chapter 6. Let us begin to ordain and license seven men who we may give over this work. See that? Over is that Greek word epi. Many people skip that. Many people say that this is a traditional deacon. But the text never says, the text never calls them deacon. A deacon is from that Greek word diakonos, which means to wait on tables or to run in the dust. It means to run in the dust because a deacon is a servant or a messenger of a king. But they never served tables. Philip, Stephen, and the other five never served tables. They was over that work, which means that they were part over that work. There was a type of bishop. They were a type of bishop because the Greek word bishop is the word episkopos. Episkopos. Epi, Iota, Sigma, Kappa, Omicron P, Omicron Sigma. Episcopal literally means an overseer or administrator of a work. So really, they was overseeing the deacon, the work of the deacons. They was overseeing the service of the work, making sure everything was properly arranged and properly organized. But we need deacons in the local church. You cannot have a church without deacons or elders. If you don't have elders and deacons in the church, that church is going to be a shallow church. Every church that is established has to have deacons, which are officers, which are the defenders of the faith. They understand the mysteries of the faith. And they got to have elders who begins to help the chief elder or the senior elder, which is the apostle, or who could be the senior pastor, help that senior pastor begin to bring strong policy, strong governmental order, and begin to bring direction to that church. Because the word government is that Greek word, kupernasis, is where we get the word steer from, or helmsman. They're really the ones that are able to steer the ship in the proper way it should go. So the elders should have some type of intuitive ability and some type of business sense that they're able to chart the course with the apostle as well as the senior pastor of that church. But they're simply located to be, they're simply called to be effective workers in a local church. They're not called to be itinerant speakers. There's only three itinerant speakers that the Bible gives access to go and travel. That is the apostle, that's the prophet, and that's the evangelist. But the pastor and teacher, they're called to be situated in the local church so that they may bring proper maturity within the sheep of that particular locality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's going on with a lot of apostles? We know how you flow, but those who are the others who call themselves apostles, why are they having problems training prophets?
I'm glad you asked the question. They have a problem training prophets, probably because they have not stressed themselves to receive the grace gift, the grace to understand the operation of the prophetic. Many people probably they're afraid to. They have a fear of prophesying a lie or making mistakes in the prophetic, so it hinders them from stretching themselves to operate the prophetic gift. And so a lot of people who have not been trained, who have not experienced a prophetic mentor, would never step out into a realm that they have not been trained to do or to operate in. And so a lot of people are afraid of that. But I think that the apostle, because he is so linked with the prophetic anointing, he must thoroughly understand that office as well as that science. Prophecy is a science. And you must understand the art and science. You must understand all the signs of the prophetic. So you must take time to begin to understand that. Understand how the prophets operate and how the prophets roll. Because the apostle, he really can't function without a prophet. Apostles need prophets. Because the apostle, even though he's a catalyst, a pioneer, a trailblazer, he's not afraid of the opposition of the enemy. But he still needs his binoculars. And those binoculars are the prophetic. It's the prophetic office. It's the seer. The seer, the roe prophet. He needs the roe prophet to begin to show him where God is taking them, what's about to happen, what's about to take place. He needs that Navi prophet who is bold enough with God's word, who is able to speak God's word spontaneously. And he needs that Matzah prophet, the prophets that have the burden to intercede, to pray for the operation and the assignment on his life. So he needs a burden prophet, he needs a seer, a seeing prophet, and he needs a healing prophet if he's going to be strong.
Amen, amen. 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. I know you're getting properly educated out there, so you ain't blowing us up tonight. I know you're getting fed, amen. Mm-hmm. Wipe your mouth, taste and see the Lord is good. Ain't it good? Amen. We got the Apostle Dr. Winston Cooper, Pastor General Overseer of the Mouth of God Ministries of Houston, Texas. Amen, amen. So let me tell you, man of God, what would you say to the evangelist right now, in this hour?
I would say to the evangelist that it's his time to begin to train and to inspire and to compel the believers to do the work of the evangelist. The evangelist who has that gift, the evangelist is like a salesman, even the evangelistes. The evangelistes or the evangelist is like a salesman or saleswoman. They have the ability to persuade and to bring people in, to buy them in. So they're called to really promote the kingdom and to share the products of the kingdom, which is Christ. And it's really, a lot of people think that it's the apostle that brings the gathering. The apostle does not bring the gathering. The apostle does not gather the people. It is the evangelist that gathers the people. The evangelist sets them up. The apostle knocks them down. It is the evangelist that gathers the people towards the apostle to receive the power and the anointing from their apostolic grace. And so I want to encourage every evangelist that you call to do really the Great Commission, but you also call as an office, you call to train other believers that they're not, it's just not good for them to sit in church and be comfortable and complacent, but they must go out of the four walls of the church and begin to win their family, win their friends, win some of their neighbors. They must begin to train the believers to start Bible subgroups in their city. And that's what the evangelist does. The evangelist begins to delegate Bible subgroups. The evangelist also begins to delegate prayer walking. The evangelist should begin to train other evangelists and other believers in their church how to go and pray walk, do some prayer walking around some apartments, do some prayer walking around some neighborhoods. And then also the evangelist should call them in and say, let's do some spiritual mapping and let us begin to pray that the glory of Christ will begin to be manifested as the veil of the devil, the devil's cloth will begin to be ripped off, and the life and glory of gospel will begin to be exposed to the nations, so that the nation may receive Christ. So the evangelists have really a strong work to do. Amen. They have a strong work to do. They call to really win souls and bring them to the church, so they may be discipled and trained.
347-94. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Now, matter of fact, the evangelists, do you know what the evangelists are in the church? The evangelist is really the angels in the church. Because evangelist comes from two words, euangelistes in Greek. If you're modern Greek, it's euangelistes or euangelistes in Greek. U-E-U is the etymological root word that means good, and angelos is where we get this word euangelistes from. It means angel. So exactly. The evangelist is the good angels of the church. So if the good angels or the good messengers of the church are not going out sharing the good news, bringing glad tidings, then they can never mesmerize the world to understand that Christ and the church is the only hope for their life. So we need our angels out. We pray in a lot, but we need our angels to go out and do the work, because they really have an angelic grace on them to present the message of the divine, the celestial revelation of Christ unto a dying world.
My Lord. The Bible says in his hour, it says about in the seven churches of Revelation, that Christ said, I have aught against you. And it says so key in his hour. We see many having churches. Dan shout, rolling over the floor, and the candlestick is gone. How can we as leaders guard ourselves for such a thing becoming the house that we occupy?
And the only way that we can really do that, because that was a good point you brought up, because the Church of Ephesus, they were doctrinally sound, but they lost the passion of Christ. They lost the passion of their first love. And the only way that we can guard ourselves from being deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist, who's deceiving the very elect, we know it's a Jewish nation, but it's deceiving the very elect. The only way we can do that is having a strong passion to see Christ glorified, to see Christ magnified. Paul says, whether I live or die, let Christ be magnified in my body. Let him be magnified in this vehicle, in this soma. Let him be magnified. And so we must continue to have a strong, intimate relationship with Christ. I was just reading today that they said majority of the pastors in the nation, they only pray 4 minutes a day. That's it. 4 minutes a day. Some preachers and pastors, they can preach good. They have good oratorical abilities, but they don't have a strong prayer life. And if a preacher from 5-0, anybody in the 5-0 ministry, don't have a strong prayer life and a strong intimacy with the Lord, they're susceptible to be deceived by the enemy. So you got to really cling to the Lord. Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul.
With all your soul.
And love your neighbor like you love yourself. And upon these two hang the Ten Commandments. We need to continue to love. Love with agape love. Love unconditionally. Love with kingdom love. Amen. And that's the only way that we can really guard ourselves from this thing. Because you can be a Martha, working, doing the work of ministry, but not hearing his every word like Mary. Mary heard the word of Christ. But Martha was busy. She did things mechanically. She did things because it was a religious thing to do. She was serving but yet worrying. But we got to be like Martha. We got to hear. We got to put our ears on the ground to hear the vibrations of Christ. We got to put our ears to the heart, to the bosom of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We got to put our ears to his bosom and hear what he's saying. It was only when John the Beloved laid his head on the bosom of Christ and said, Lord, who it is that betrayed thee, that Jesus revealed the secret to John because he laid his head on his bosom. It was only when Jacob laid his head on the pillar that God caused the heavens to open and Jacob saw the ladder. Jacob saw the ladder with angels ascending and descending upon it. It's only when we lay our head upon the heart of Christ that we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And our candlesticks will not go out.
My goodness. Okay. Why are not many leaders preaching about fasting in this hour?
Fasting is a discipline. And many people don't like discipline. And many people have they have diluted this doctrine of grace. But once we're saved, we're always saved. So we don't need to go into this rigorous training like they did because we know that we're going to be saved already. And so they are afraid if they challenge their people to fast, they're going to lose members. If they take their people to a higher discipline of knowing that there's demons out there, they need to fast and pray, they're afraid they're going to lose their tithers. And so some people don't practice fasting because they don't fast themselves. And they're afraid that it's not going to be an influential message. People are not going to like fasting, but fasting is very important because if we don't fast, we cannot put ourselves on a pedestal to hear the voice of God. If we don't fast, our discernment cannot be sharp. And so any church that does not practice fasting on a continual basis, not just in the beginning of the year, but on a continual basis, that discernment is going to be blunt, it's going to be dull, the wisdom is going to be dull, the spiritual gifts are going to be dull. What fasting does, it not only allows you to hear the voice of God. Fasting sharpens spiritual gifts. Fasting sharpens sensitivity. And fasting brings the church into an awareness of their heavenly position and their heavenly seat. When a church begins to fast, that church is in awareness that they are seated in heavenly places. And anything they begin to command from a heaven perspective, those things will begin to manifest in this earth realm. And so the devil fights and attacks the church about the doctrine of fasting, which is that word, nestia, or the Greek word psalm, to afflict yourself. When he said, if my people who will call my name will humble themselves, and pray, the word humble in that text literally means they fast and pray. So how can you humble? He literally saying in the text, if my people who will call by my name will fast and pray, then I will hear from heaven. So we think that it's important that we take on a humility posture, but true humility is going through a state of fasting. True humility is going through a state of afflicting your soul and not allowing your soul to enjoy the pleasures of the flesh. And if we begin to fast and pray, God said he would hear from heaven. And if he's hearing from heaven, that means heavens is open. Heaven's doors is open. And his ear is able to hear our prayer. It's only when Daniel fasted and prayed that Michael, Gabriel, came to Daniel and said, I heard you for the first thing, but I needed you to fast and pray so that your vibration may have enough power to release angelic strength to conquer the prince of Persia so that I may come down and give you the word or give you the revelation that Elohim has for you.
Amen. 347, almost hate to call a number out. 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416. We have the Apostle Dr. Winston Cooper, Pastor General Overseer of the Mouth of God Ministries of Houston, Texas. Amen. He's here. His apostolic mantle, his apostleship is on full display. Amen. You got any questions? Amen. Let's be clear on tonight. Govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. You can definitely call in 347-945-5416. Amen. So, man of God, we was talking about, amen, the apostles. We talk about the prophets. We dive a little bit to the evangelists. Talk about the pastors. What would you say to the pastors tonight?
I'll encourage the pastors to yet still have a burden minds of their sheep and to know the state of their flock. I have encouraged the shepherds to constantly feed upon the word of God, which is able to bring life and bring grace unto every sheep, unto every believer. The Bible says that in Jeremiah 3:15, I would give you shepherds after my own heart that should feed you with knowledge and understanding. Not feed you with stories. Not feed you with just testimonies. Not feed you with junk.
Come on now. Come on now, Apostle.
With knowledge and understanding. My God's knowledge. God's understanding. And so I want to encourage this, every shepherd, even myself, if I'm speaking this, let us adhere to the word of God, that when we disperse this knowledge and disperse this wisdom, the saints of God may grow into a mature stature, the perfect man of Christ, and come into the place where Christ can say, now I can come and get my church because they're without spot and they're without wrinkle. I've encouraged the shepherds to begin to keep their eyes out, to master leadership, not just management, but leadership. You have a lot of managers who are using pastoral office, but a true pastor is a leader, not just a manager. A leader can take you into greater horizons. A leader develops you into becoming greater than what you think you are. So we must begin to understand the science of leadership. Leaders influence, managers control tasks. And so leadership, the art of leadership, must begin to be redeveloped back into these pastors, so that we may become creative fishers of men. And we must continue to follow Jesus. Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Unless we continue to follow him, we can never be made. So we must continue to follow the chief shepherd. And as we follow him, he will continue to make us fishers of men.
Wow. We're coming up, amen, almost to the end of our broadcast, amen. You still got time if you got any questions. I think the apostolic mantle has been properly demonstrated, but however, you can have at it, amen. 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. This is the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. Oh, God, I keep hearing this in my spirit. All right, talk to the bishop's apostle. Oh man, I was trying to dodge it, amen. But we got a lot of them. We got a lot of bishops nowadays, apostle.
Right, and if you do, you want to talk about it biblically, or you want to talk about it now?
Let's go in. You know, you apostle, I'm the prophet. You go. Let's go in.
Well, I think really, first of all, I would say biblically speaking, I believe that the Bible speaks about man being bishops. I think that bishopric office is really set aside for man, even though from its root is the word episcopae, which is in feminine gender. Paul says episcopos, which is a masculine gender, and he does have one wife. And so I think that is really solidified, consecrated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
Jesus.
First of all, bishops should begin to become strong men in God's church, to release the final authority of how the church should function in order as well as administration. A true bishop is really an elder. Bishop is synonymous to an elder. So presbyteros and episcopos are synonymous together. And even the apostle is a bishop. Even some prophets, they're called to be a government office in the church. In their season, they are bishops, because all it is an overseer. That's why in Acts 1, Peter said that we cannot do nothing unless we get somebody to replace Judas' bishopric. So Matthias was an apostle, but he had to replace the office of the bishopric that Judas rang himself. So he was a bishop. Even in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says, I come to you as a fellow elder, father, he says, father the flock of God, feed the flock of God, not having worship over them. So apostles and those in top of ministry should be elders, should be bishops, because they're offices. Really, the teaching gift is really the apostolic gift, the prophetic gift. All those are gifts, but the true two offices in the church is the bishop and the deacon. So if you're going to operate in the top of ministry, you must be qualified to be in that office of an elder or a bishop. And so, the reason why I ask you, do you want to explain it biblically? from that which is modern is because we have deviated from that pattern according to the biblical structure. The biblical paradigm says that, hey, I'm going to bring you into this church to oversee this church, but you're not going to be the only bishop. I'm going to establish bishops. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes the letter while he's in his first Roman imprisonment jail. He writes the first letter, to Philippi and says, I'm writing this to the bishops, not to the church of Philippi. I write this to the bishops and deacons of that church. So there were bishops in one singular church in Philippi, the church of Philippi. So there are plurality of bishops in one church. But how we have done it today and how we have practiced it today, we totally deviated from that paradigm of the New Testament.
Come on now.
We have a bishop over a region, bishop over a diocese, bishop over a sphere, and we think that because we have archbishops, chief bishops, and all these other bishops, these pontifexes, we think that it is acceptable according to the New Testament, but we cannot begin to practice that when it's deviating from an exegetical structure found in the biblical doctrine. So,
amen.
I encourage the bishop, really the bishops, all the bishops are men in the church. The bishops should know how to administrate. They should know, the Bible says, any man who calls himself a steward, so the bishop is a steward, he must be found faithful. So the bishop must have accounting skills. They must be well able to manage money. Bishops must be well able to know the account of the sheep, know what's going on with the sheep. Bishops must be hospitable. They must be the first ones who open the door to people who are homeless. We have a lot of bishops who came to open the door to the homeless. When the Bible said a bishop should be found having hospitality, which is that Greek word philodinos, which means they should be a lover of strangers. So every now and then, bishops open their door for strangers to come dwell with them and to disciple them. That's the bishop's duty. And the bishops understand the early church fathers. Bishops should begin to study the early church fathers. Bishops should be sound theology. So bishops play a lot of they have a lot of roles in God's church.
Have to teach.
They have to be skillful to teach. The deacons are not even called to teach. But if you call yourself a bishop, you better teach sound doctrine. You better know your doctrine. Deacons are just called to serve, but you have to be skillful. The apticons in Greek is that word, apticons. You have to be a skillful, competent teacher. Not just a Sunday school teacher. You got to be a teacher to the church, to the body.
Yes.
A didacticon. I think when we deal with this gender, I think that the woman's highest calling in the Bible, like we said before, is a prophetess. So we need some women to operate in the prophetic, in a strong prophetic, because they already have an innate ability to influence. They have an innate ability to persuade. It's something like when a woman talks to you, they have the ability to persuade. So their gift is really intercession and prophecy for the Lord. The Bible says this in Psalm 68, Prophet Josh. The Bible says God gave the word, and great was the company of them that published it. Great was the company of them that published it. But when you look at it in the Hebrew text, it is in the feminine gender. The company is not men. The company who received God's word, God's dabar, his imra, who received the rhema, which is that synonymous word to rhema, the fresh word from God, is the company of daughters of Zion. So God gave his word not to men, but he gave his word to women. So they may publish it or prophesy it. So women are called to prophesy God's word because of their feminine sensitivity in the spirit. Prophetic operation, prophetic anointing is like a feminine operation. That's what prophets are sensitive, emotional. But they should never move and shift themselves to the apostolic. Because the church does not operate like the NBA does. We don't have NBA and WNBA. The church has an order. There's a structure there. That the apostle, because it's a masculine gender and a strong foundational gender, they're able to begin to train these women how to prophesy properly. But when they begin to take the place of the apostle and they have no covering over themselves, that's when we see a deformity taking place.
My God. So what would you say to the prophetess in this hour? Amen. I'm talking about And according to the Bible in the book of Luke, we had Anna the prophet, and she served the Lord day and night with prayer and fasting, amen. She was in the temple. A lot of sisters say, well, they were discriminated upon during that era, amen. But we have Anna, a prophetess. She was dead smack in the middle of the temple. I'm talking about she was in the, and we know the temple during that time, you had a section for the, you know, the Gentiles and the Jews were separate. So, you know, Anna, she was in there. I mean, she was
right.
In there.
You're right. There was no section. So they had a section for the Jews and Gentiles, but they also had a women's court. See?
Yes.
They want to deal with that women's court. So.
Oh, no. They kept them separate.
This is biblical. Anna, she was a strong prophet, and she fasted and prayed. Paul, the seven things in order, chapter 14. the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also says the law. So women, he's not telling you to be utterly silent. He's just saying that you need to be under an authority. That authority is the elders. That those elders are masculine. So if the elders give you permission to speak, to teach, to prophesy, you can. But if no one gives you an authority that is a masculine gender, some of these things are out of order. We got to deal with these things. Now, this is what scares me, 35. This is what scares me, 35. He says, and if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Now, I don't know about you, Brother Josh, but I think there's something wrong when I hear about a first man. I never heard about a first man. I heard first ladies, but you got first man in church now.
Mm-hmm.
You got men that
yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And bishops and deacons, and then their wives are
high. I don't co-sign that.
And then they got first man. So this is out of order. Watch what he says in verse
6. Out of order.
What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man, I gotta teach the women, my sisters, and my mother's faith this scripture, because this is serious. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge
the right.
Or the commandments of the Lord. Watch this. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So you got these people who call themselves prophets and spiritual. They're totally ignoring what Paul has taught in this church, and Paul said they're ignorant. So you can be you can call yourself an apostle, but Paul's calling you an ignorant apostle. You can call yourself a woman that don't need no covering, but Paul's calling you an ignorant spiritual woman. I didn't call you that. Don't say Paul Cooper called you that. Paul said if you don't hear what I'm saying about this order, you're ignorant. You got this gift, but you're still ignorant. Paul, our apostle, he says that. I didn't say that. I'm just reflecting what he said. So we got to deal with these things, you know. And we skip over these verses. We preach 1 Corinthians 14 all the way down to 32, but we skip over these. And you can't do that. If you're a true apostle minister, you cannot skip a verse. You got to teach every verse. Even when he says that the woman should be undercover when they prophesy, because the angels watch over them. When they prophesy, watch this. When a woman is out of order, when she's out of the covering of a man, that angel is beholding her rebellion. The Bible says the angels watching their submission within the church. And we don't know if it's fallen angels. The fallen angels are looking at them and saying, okay, they're just like us. They rebel against authority like we did. We don't know if it's good angels saying, oh, my God, why? I would like to bless them, but they rebel against authority. But we know that angels are eternal. Angels live in every culture. You can't say that this is for the culture of that day, because angels are transcultural. Angels exist today, and angels are still watching the order of God's church. So a lot of people say, well, this is the culture of the person in the church. But most of all, Paul says angels are watching to make sure every woman is under authority of the covering of the man that God said. Because God first said man, God first said God, then it's Christ, then it's man, then it's woman. That is the order. That is the order of the church.
Sheesh. Boy, look at here. This has been the Apostle Dr. Winston Cooper. Amen. The Pastor, General Overseer of the Mouth of God Ministries of Houston, Texas. Can you tell them how to get in contact with you, man of God?
Yes, we have a website. You can contact us on our website. We have more things on there. It's www.mouthofgodministries.org. That's www.mouthofgodministries.org. Or you can hit us up on Facebook. And if you go to our website, you can purchase my book. I got a book called The Apostolic Dimension. That's my second book I wrote. It's called The Apostolic Dimension. You can purchase that on our website for $10. If you get it on Amazon, it's going to cost you more. And I have a third book called Success Secrets of Great Leaders. And my first book is called Walking in the Power of the Seven Spirits. Walking in the Power of the Seven Spirits. Once you understand the seven spirits, Father in the Bible, and you understand it, your life will never be the same. So I thank you, Father God.
My God. Yeah. Listen, Apostle, I've been blessed by you coming on the broadcast, demonstrating your mantle, amen, talking to people of God about the apostolic, prophetic, evangelist, Pastor TJ, amen. I thank God for you coming on here, the Mouth of God Ministries of Houston, Texas. We definitely thank once again, my partner, amen, Pastor Hill, amen. We thank that man of God there, Amen. Definitely keep him in prayer as he travels to and fro. Amen. Amen. The pastor. Amen. Definitely thank God for him. Amen. And his ministry. Man of God, we definitely look forward for you, the anniversary celebration. Amen. If your schedule permits. Amen. Definitely would love to have you.
Yes, I would love to step in.
Definitely, man. It's going to be a powwow. Amen. So definitely thank God for you. Like I said, March 30, if we're going to have quality of life artists, New Jersey-owned Darren Deke, Mr. Christian Walk himself, amen. Like I said, fresh off his tour, been on with Ken Jones. Definitely shout out to the man of God, quality of life, amen. And next Monday, we're going to have the Mantle of God anniversary celebration special, amen. It's going to be a celebration, amen. And for those of you who don't know, pretty soon I'm going to be leaving Mantle of God Empowerment Program. I hear what? Yeah, I'm making an announcement now. Amen. I'm going to be leaving the Mantle of God Empowerment Program. Amen. It's been a good run, very good run. But, amen, God is putting a press on a prophet. Amen. My God. I mean, he's putting a press on me. Amen. So I got to be obedient. Amen. You know, I enjoy doing this. Amen. But, shoo, the boss is putting a press on me. Got to be obedient. So when you go on to different dimensions, going on different levels, amen, you know, God, you know, who knows what God, you may have another host, but I don't see one in sight. If they can't do it on the level it needs to be done, we'll shut it down, amen, and Nathan on the spot will continue on, amen. So we thank God. We thank God for all the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers who have graced this program, amen, and definitely, amen. So tune in to Mantle of God Empowerment Program. We're going to do it big next week on Monday, amen. We're going to do it big. And like I said, special shout-out to Prophet Benson. So ordained yesterday, amen. So shout-out to him, Elder Bernard down there, Trumpets of Fire, hallelujah. And I thank Prophet Benson because he, my God, he's setting the order down there. My God, he's shaking up some stuff down there. Young prophet, 24 years old. I ain't never seen nothing like that with this man of God, that doctrine, man. He follows every letter of the word. He the whole scroll. My God. So I shout out to him. So final word, Apostle Dr. Winston Cooper, amen. Final word, amen, you want to say to the fivefold ministry.
I just want to say that I love the body of Christ. I love what God is doing for us in this season, even in this Kairos moment. And I thank God for what he has showed me in the spirit about wealth transfer taking place. The church is literally about to enter into a golden age. So even though the economy is going through some things, the church is about to enter a golden age. Zechariah said that he saw two golden lamps releasing oil from those lamps. So the golden lamps are still producing fresh oil so the church may operate in greater wealth, greater understanding, and new apostolic and prophetic technologies so that we may become, amen, the head and not the tail, above and not beneath in the earth realm. So I just thank God for just fellowshipping with y'all today. Thank you, Prophet Josh, for inviting me, amen, and we just thank God for his coming. The Parousia, God, he's coming back again, and we're ready. We're expected. We're actually ready.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely a roger. That's a roger. I feel a press to say this. So what God is speaking in your spirit right now as far as, amen, this shift, amen, we're entering into another month, hallelujah, which be the second part of this season, amen. So what is God is really pressing on you to say?
Man, this month of April, just basically focusing on really the Great Commission. I'm focusing on really winning souls, man. It's this time of getting wicked. We hear so much murder taking place. We're hearing these laws being changed. The laws are altering. Not knowing it's really fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel. He says that the enemy should come and alter times and seasons. So the enemy has already come to alter times and seasons, and we see a homosexual on a high time rise, lesbianism on a high time rise. Men are calling evil good, and good evil. And so even in this time now, we need to really begin to present the gospel message in a fresh way. We need to be innovative in our methodology of presenting the gospel. We're called to preach the gospel to lost souls, but we're called to teach doctrine to the believer. And so we can't teach doctrine to the believer. We need to preach the love of the gospel to the lost souls, and we need to preach the doctrine to the believers. And I think that the gospel, we need to begin to
thank God for the Mouth of God Ministries of Houston, Texas. Amen. Apostle, we're going to let you take us out in prayer. Amen. I don't want to let you go, but amen.
Amen.
Let you go, and let you go, man of God. Go ahead and take us out in prayer.
Father God, we just give your name the praise. We give your name the glory. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your wisdom being released upon this conference call. I thank you for, oh my God, for Prophet Josh having this great, great idea, this great thought to begin to release this radio broadcast so that the media mountain may be covered by the gospel spoken through the airwaves of mighty men and mighty women of God that have spoken on this radio broadcast. I pray, Father God, that you release now a greater grace upon every apostle, upon every prophet, upon every evangelist and pastor and teacher, that you give them a greater grace for the journey, that nobody will faint, nobody will give up on their call, nobody will throw in the towel. For you said if we put our hand to the plow and look back, we're not fit for the kingdom. Father, I pray that you make us fit for the kingdom. Release now your carpenters on assignment to cut the horns of the enemy. And I pray that we will not be scattered. Our energy will not be scattered. Our focus will not be scattered. Our dimension of grace will not be scattered, but we shall be focused, laser focused upon the kingdom, so that your kingdom may come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, Father God, for manifestation of wealth, prosperity, resources that every ministry that's on this radio broadcast needs. I thank you for releasing angels of grace, angels of wealth and wisdom on assignment to fulfill their vision, to fulfill their assignment. And we give your name the praise, and we give your name the glory, and we give your name the honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. This has been the Mantle of God Empowerment Program, EMG Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. You have just witnessed the Apostolic Apostle, Dr. Winston Cooper, Pastor General Overseer of Mouth of God Ministry of Houston, Texas. We'll see you here on this upcoming Sunday. Darren Dick will be in the building. For Mantle of God, on behalf of the beloved Apostle, have a good night. God bless.
Let the devil know that you encourage. Let him know that you encourage. Let him know. Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but somebody may be crying, but I come to let you know that God can make it all right. It's impossible to see, but God is gonna work it out if you just believe. Remember this one thing while you're going through. If God delivered Daniel, guess what? He'll do the same for you. Just a test of your faith. So stand strong and dry your weeping eyes. 'Cause joy comes in the morning. gonna be alright. Yeah!